with him, where we don't have to worry about furnaces working or not working, where it always be a balmy 72.3 degrees. Oh, praise God. He is so good. Can you believe that it is only 5 more days till Christmas? It's just like, wow, amazing. Yeah, it's just like, where'd the time go? And what I want to talk to you about this morning is responding to Christmas. And that's my title for this morning's talk, is Responding to Christmas. You know, over the years, I've listened to various responses to people as Christmas approaches. There have been times, and you'll recall, there have been times of outrage, you know, resulting in the removing of nativity scenes from public places, which most of them are back now, by the way, which I think is really cool. There have been attempts to change Merry Christmas to Happy Holidays. I even remember a yard sign that said, "Some people have to bring religion into everything." I'll let that sink in for a minute. But this year, very honestly, this year, 2020, I haven't seen any of that kind of behavior. I haven't seen anybody shouting or the outrage. In fact, my experience has been that this year, people are actually going out of their way to say Merry Christmas. You know, this past Friday, I was listening to I like going for drives, and I listen to the radio when I'm driving, and there's a channel I particularly like talking to. It's a talk show, and they talk about all kinds of different things, but as I was listening to the program, the guy that was hosting the show begins to urge government to respect, and this blew me away, because this is a secular radio program, and he began to urge government to respect the value of the church and other places of worship, and not treat them like any other business in terms of lockdowns, as they offer valuable support and services to the community. And I thought that was pretty interesting, that this radio station or this particular commentator was urging the government not to treat churches just like another business because of the nature of what the church is. And the person went on to say, actually, government should be looking to partner with places of worship. Can somebody say amen to that? I thought that was pretty cool. Some of the people calling in weren't quite of the same persuasion, but that's another sermon. My experience over the last while has been that actually people are looking for ways to be supportive. And frankly, I think it's ultimately because people in general are looking for something other than outrage. They're tired, and they're emotionally spent. I was watching another news program, and a number of people were being interviewed with regards to the COVID vaccine. And there was one common thread that they all said out of all the people that were being interviewed, and I found this very interesting. They all said the same thing. They said, "Now we have hope." Wow. Now we have hope. The introduction of a vaccine has been such an encouragement to people. Now we have hope. And it really struck me, you know, people are longing for hope. And people are longing for good news. Tired of the outrage, and they're tired of the bad news and the gloom and the doom, you know. Now we have hope. And I thought that was pretty curious, because people are longing for hope. They're looking for some good news. And as I was watching that show, I was reminded that the gospel, you know what it means? It means good news. The gospel means good news. The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is good news. Remember what the angel said to the shepherds who were out tending their sheep near Bethlehem? It's recorded in the book of Luke. And By the way, just so you know, the book of Luke was also compiled from eyewitness accounts. And this is what Luke records. And we read in chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Luke records, the angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah, the Lord." But then in the book of John, which we've been looking at the last few weeks, we read something very curious. So the angel is declaring, this is good news, which will cause great joy for all people. And then in the book of John, it records in chapter 1, verse 11. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. And then in John 3, 19, John records, and we read, this is the verdict. The light has come into the world. And we know from chapter 1 that John is talking about Jesus. He says, the light has come into the world, but people love the darkness instead of the light. We want hope. But at the same, it says people love the darkness instead of the light. Why? Because, as John records, their deeds were evil. And when I read that, I go, wow. And John continues, and he writes, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. In other words, when you read that, we read that so often we can gloss over it, but what's happening, in other words, people are making a willful decision to choose darkness. People are making a willful decision to choose darkness, to stay in hopelessness, to remain in the grip and captivity of sin and participate in the destructive behavior, in its destructive behavior rather, and also destroying themselves and the people around them in the process. They chose the darkness because their deeds were evil. So they're making a deliberate choice to remain in hopelessness, to continue and participate in the destructive behavior of sin, destroying themselves and the people around them in the process. One writer put it, as I was looking at this a little bit, one writer put it like this. Rejection of the gospel is because men have an unbelieving nature. It sums it up right there, doesn't it? The rejection of the gospel is because people have an unbelieving nature. So when Jesus came into the world, he came to save sinners and set them free. Yet because mankind is fallen in sin, because we have this fallen nature, this nature that loves the darkness, because mankind has fallen in sin, they stumble over this message and ultimately reject it. And we see this clearly illustrated in Isaiah 8 and 9. And I want us to turn there. And I've taught on this before, but I want to look at those chapters again this morning with a bit of a fresh application. And so turn with me to Isaiah chapter 8, and we're going to simply read verses 19 to 21. We're not going to look at the whole chapters, but we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 8, verses 19 to 22, and then in a bit we'll move on into chapter 9. But starting at 8, verse 19, this is what Isaiah pens. When someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? Consult God's instruction and the testimony of warning. If anyone does not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. Distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. When they are famished, they will become enraged and, looking upward, will curse their king and their God. They will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. So at this point in Israel's history, they had turned completely away from God. The one who loved them, the one who cared for them, the one who protected them. They were his chosen people. And Isaiah, in chapter 1, he writes this, the Lord, through the prophets, he says, I reared children, and I brought them up. In other words, I cared for them, but they have rebelled against me. People love the darkness, still the light. And instead of placing their trust in God, the one who reared them, the one who cared for them, instead of placing their trust in God, they turned away, and in this case, resorted to consulting mediums and spiritists. In fact, Ahaz was the king at the time, and he was not a good king. He was rotten to the core. He had introduced idolatry into Israel. He had introduced the worship of a god, Molech, who was the savage god, to say the least, of the Ammonites. He erected a statue of this god, put a furnace at the feet of this god, so that, in order that, they might throw children into the fire and burn them as an offering to this god. People love the darkness instead of the light because their deeds were evil. Superstition was everywhere. Gold and silver statues were worshipped in the homes of the children of Israel. And Ahaz finally shut the temple door and barred it closed and let the whole temple go to decay. And then Isaiah challenges, why would you consult the dead on behalf of the living? And he says, to the law and to the testimony. And that's God's word. To the law and to the testimony. He says, if they do not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. In other words, these people you're turning to, who whisper and mutter, and in this case, specifically the mediums and the spiritists, these people who you're turning to, who mutter all kinds of things, he says, they speak nonsense. And he goes so far to say, if they don't speak God's truth, there is no light. If they have no light, what is the only possible outcome? Darkness. If they have no light, if they don't speak God's truth, there is no light. And if they have no light, the only possible outcome is darkness. And so in the absence of the light, the truth of God, the only possible outcome is darkness. And they'll look around, and all they can see or experience, the reality they will find themselves in, is distress, loneliness, darkness. Darkness, deep anguish of the soul. Terrible trouble. And Isaiah asks, and asks the nation, why? Why? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? Why? Why not trust the living God who has led you out of slavery? The one who has defeated your enemies? The one who loves you and watches over you? Why? Listen to what God had promised the nation of Israel. He says, I will walk among you and you will be my people. I will be a father to you and you will be my sons and daughters. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt so that you would no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. He says, I broke the bars of your slavery and enabled you to walk with your heads held high. That's in Leviticus chapter 26. But that's incredible. Listen to what God had promised the nation of Israel. No wonder why listen to these people who are muttering and they have no light. Why would you listen to him when this is what the Lord your God has promised you? I will walk among you. You will be my people. I will be your father. You will be my sons and daughters. I am the Lord who brought you out of Egypt so that you would no longer be slaves. I broke the bars of your slavery and enabled you to walk with heads held high. I love that. I love that phrase. It really shows you something about God. I broke the bars of your slavery and enabled you to walk with your head held high. God's plan is and always has been is to restore your dignity and honor. He enables you to walk his plan is to enable you to walk in the original destiny that he had planned for you in the first place. And he had planned for your life to bless you, to prosper you, and to give you hope and a future. And Isaiah says, why? Why? And because they didn't trust God, because the nation didn't trust God and listen to him, it opened up the way for Assyria to invade. And the Assyrian invasions would bring war, bring turmoil, bring acute food shortages. It was terrible. The hardship was severe. And the turmoil and the hunger fostered sharp anger. And listen to what they do. They became enraged. And guess where that rage was directed to? It was directed to God. The God who had promised to be a father to them, to care for them. The God they refused to trust. That's a clear example of a deeper issue. That's nature that I talked about at the beginning. The insanity or the senselessness of sin. And sadly, the darkness of humanity's heart, hasn't seemed to change much. As John recorded, people loved the darkness because their deeds were evil. I remember talking with someone some time ago who wanted to talk. I'm not 100% sure why they wanted to talk to me, knowing I was a pastor, and maybe they felt like they just wanted to yell at me or something. Because as we talked, the person rather passionately blamed God and those self-righteous Christians for the pain in their lives. So angry at God. So angry at God. So Isaiah said, looking upward, they will curse their God. So angry. So much pain. I will never forget the conversation, because so much pain in this person, but along with it, so much anger. An unwillingness to humble themselves, but rather angry at God and angry at those people who profess to be at God. They were the source of this person's pain. They were the source of this person's trouble. If it wasn't for those, you can fill in your own blanks there. So angry at God. Looking upward, they will curse their God. But it occurred to me, however, that throughout, even in talking with this person and throughout history, the history of humanity, a humanity lost in darkness, unwilling to respond to Jesus Christ, people have still always wanted a Savior, something to deal with the darkness inside. They're looking for something to deal with the pain, the darkness, that emptiness inside. Looking for hope. And again, as I said, this last season, I've watched it. I've heard it. People are looking for hope. And as James points out in chapter 4 of the book of James, he says that the pain, the suffering, the conflict, victims are ultimately a result of the war on the inside. This is my sin and my selfishness. And if there's a war on the inside, you know what? There will eventually be a war on the outside. rather than turn to the light. Our modern society continues to make decisions to normalize behaviors that are a result of their love of darkness and are unwilling to deal with the war that rages inside. Rather than align with the truth, they make decisions, redefine things, realign things, reconstruct things. Normalize behaviors that are a result of their love of darkness, unwilling to deal with the war with the darkness inside. Just received this, Janet Buckingham. She's the director of law and public policy for the Evangelical Fellowship Canada. She wrote this: "We no longer trust that the guarantee of religious freedom in the Charter is necessarily going to apply to protect religious freedom of speech." Don't want to hear the truth. In fact, they begin to outlaw the truth. Making decisions to normalize behaviors that are a result of the darkness inside. Why? Because people love the darkness instead of the light because their deeds were evil. In the absence of the light, the truth of God, the only possible outcome is darkness. They will look around and all they can see or experience, the reality they will find themselves in, is distress, loneliness, and darkness. Deep anguish of the soul. Terrible trouble. And that's the situation. That's the condition. But then we come to Isaiah 9. And I'm going to read verses 1 to 2 to you. Isaiah chapter 9. And I want us to see the goodness of grace of God. Listen to this. "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." Hallelujah. See the goodness of God in there. And I love how he tells the prophet to prophesy. He says, "Nevertheless, in spite of this, rather than leave them in the darkness," God tells Isaiah to prophesy, "in spite of the wickedness of men's hearts, in spite of their love of the darkness, there will be no more anguish and distress. Instead of darkness, light. Instead of despair, hope. Because a light has dawned." Amen? There is answer to the darkness today. There is an answer to the darkness of the insanity of sin. There is hope. There is real hope to be found today. Amen? There is real hope. And Isaiah continues, "You," and that "you" refers to God, "you, God, have enlarged the nations and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as a people rejoice at the harvest." Listen to this. As warriors rejoice when dividing the splendor, for the plunder, rather, not the splendor. I have no idea what splendor is. But you guys can look it up, splendor. But what it says is dividing the plunder, okay? "For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them." I love that. "You have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors." And that speaks of a new freedom and a new peace and a new reality. He goes on, "Every warrior's boots used in battle will be fuel for the fire." Why? The war is over. Darkness is defeated. A light has dawned. The yoke of slavery has been shattered. The rod of oppressive darkness has been lifted. Why? Because of verses 6 and 7. "For unto us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on forever. The zeal of the Almighty Lord will accomplish this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He has come to bring peace between God and man. He has come to bring hope to those living in distress and hopelessness. He is the light that dispels the darkness. His name is Jesus, and he will save us from our sin. Amen. His name is Jesus, the name above every other name. In him is life, and that life is the light of man. He is the hope that dispels the darkness, and of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. What is incomplete, he will make complete. Amen. What is lacking, he will make full. What is less than, he will make more than enough. What is broken, he will fix. What is hurt, he will heal. And what is weak, he will make strong. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of God will accomplish this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is hope today. There is hope today. And it's better than a vaccine, let me tell you. There is hope. There is a vaccine for that which infects the world today. There is a vaccine for the sin that plagues every one of us. His name is Jesus. Prince of Peace, Almighty God. Amen. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Amen. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Amen. Nothing can stop the reign and rule of Jesus Christ. Nothing can stop the life he has come to bring. Nothing can stop what his intentions are for you and for me, because the darkness cannot apprehend it. Amen? He is the light in the darkness. There is hope today, church. There is real hope today. And that hope is found in Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the message of Christmas. That's the message of Christmas. And I'm going to end with this one question. How will you respond? John records they loved the darkness because their deeds were evil. How will you respond to the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ this Christmas? So, Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that nevertheless, Father, in spite of our sin, in spite of our being angry and cursing our God, yet you still loved us. As your word says, for God so loved the world that he gave that which was most precious to him. Your only begotten Son, our Savior. And whoever believes on him will not perish, but have life, and that life to the fullest. Father, I pray for hearts this morning. Father, as your good news goes forth, that, Father, people will respond to the goodness of who you are, that you lift the scales and remove the deception of sin. And Father, that we would, as believers, rejoice and celebrate in your goodness. And Father, I pray for those who don't know you, that this season they would come and that they would give their heart to the God who loves them and who cares for them and who came to restore them to the destiny he has purposed, to give them future and hope through Jesus Christ. We love you and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, church. and have a very, very Merry Christmas. Amen. You are dismissed.